Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is another investigation into our changing world of consciousness, how the planet itself is going through its cycles of change. And that's why I have on tonight William Stick Evers, who's going to be talking about an amazing conjunction in the sky, this grand cross that's happening today and tomorrow. William, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan, for having me on again. It's been a while.
I know, and you are just keep at it, and you keep finding these amazing signs in the sky that are connected to our history. So something really, really major that, in a way, hasn't happened in history before, because some of this has to do with Pluto and Uranus, which are the outer planets that really haven't been discovered until the last couple hundred years. So what we're seeing now is this grand cross, in a sense, has never happened before in history. Is that true?
It's rarely ever happened before. We can go back in history. I mean, the closest thing to this is what happened in the early 30s that coincided with the rise of fascism and the Great Depression. But if you go further back, you can see back at the time of the Reformation, where we saw a stellium of planets in Pisces around 1518, 1520. But if we even go further back, where we see a very similar alignment in terms of the outer planets along with Jupiter and Saturn coming together here, we see the collapse of the Western Roman Empire. And that led me to do an investigation. I actually... And this has something to do with what I discovered on my own with what I call X events, events of international significance that always seem to happen when major planetary astrological alignments occur during the second decade at the beginning of every new century.
And So you're saying 1914 we had World War One.
Right. 18- and before that, 100 years earlier, in 1812, we had the French Napoleonic armies invaded Russia. We had the United States declare war on Canada and Great Britain, the War of 1812. But then 100 years prior to that, we had the Great Jacobite Rebellion, where the King of England was almost overthrown. 100 years before that, we had the 30 Years' War in 1618. 100 years before that, we had the Reformation in 1518. 100 years before that, we had the rise of Scotland and independence from England in 1314. 100 years before that, let me just finish here.
It sounds amazing. Yeah.
Right. The Magna Carta in 1215. 100 years before that, the rise of the Knights Templar in 1119. 100 years before that, the Vikings completely overran England and occupied it in 1013. 100 years before that, the rise of the Kingdom of Germany in 912. The 100 years before that, the Carolingian Renaissance, you know, Charles the Great, Charlemagne, in 814 AD. Then we had the Muslim invasion of Western Europe in 711 AD. Then the rise of the Tang Dynasty 100 years before that in 1618 AD, and the rise of the Byzantium Empire in 518 AD, and then 100 years to that in the 5th century was the collapse of the Roman Empire, which began in 410 AD. So if we just go back every 100 years during the second decade at the start of each century, when a major astrological outer planetary alignment occurs, we see an event take place, all right, whether it's during that decade, that correlates with the rise and fall of an empire, large-scale military invasions, revolts and social revolutions, political power struggles of international significance. And not only are they significant, they actually set the stage for the remainder of that entire century. So everything that all the problems we have today are a result of what happened in World War One, that resulted in World War Two and the Cold War, etc. Go on. Sorry.
So there's two things going on. No, I'm happy to hear history because I think it's important to look at patterns and cycles in history because obviously history repeats itself and it's no coincidence that these things happen in the second decade of every century for whatever reason. And this other thing that's happening is this grand cross alignment. So these two things are lining up this year, 2014. To do what? Why don't you first talk about what's happening in the Grand Cross and the kind of positions of the planet and how that affects us?
Well, what we're seeing here is the culmination of the Uranus-Pluto alignment, the two outer planets that began sometime in early 2007 and have been culminating ever since. And during that culmination, where those two planets were squaring each other, Jupiter and Mars moved into position during the beginning of 2014. So what you're seeing, the Grand Cardinal Cross, is Pluto, Uranus, Jupiter, and Mars, all right, in a alignment, all squaring and opposing each other.
And in the cardinal signs of the zodiac, which are signs of initiation or beginnings, right?
Right, and when they are in cardinal signs, they often manifest their power in the world on the world stage very powerfully. And mm-hmm. So what we're seeing here, especially now, in mid-April, is not only is the Grand Cardinal Cross taking place, but it's also happening to coincide on the 5th of there was 7 successive squares. The first one happened in 2012, just a few weeks prior to the Mayan calendar end date.
Right.
So we had the first Uranus-Pluto alignment. Then we had successive Uranus-Pluto alignments. As of today, we're having the 5th of 7 Uranus-Pluto alignments. There'll be one in October 2014 and a final one in 2015. So not only are you having this grand square, but you're having an exact alignment of Uranus-Pluto.
And when those... Uranus and Pluto are squaring each other, right? So that's 90-degree angle between Pluto and Uranus. But what does that mean? What are the archetypes of Uranus and Pluto, and what does it mean to be squaring these two planets?
Exactly. Well, that's exactly where I was going to with that.
Okay.
Basically, based on the tradition of mundane astrology, they tend to correlate, these alignments of Uranus-Pluto correlate with widespread radical political social change, destructive upheaval, massive empowerment of revolutionary and rebellious impulses on a collective scale. Often...
Wait, let me just ask you, was the beginning of those Pluto-Uranus alignments the beginning of the Occupy movement? Did that coincide with that?
Correct. Actually, the first, the Occupy movement, I believe, started sometime in, that correlated very closely to the first Uranus-Pluto alignment in September 2012.
Right, or earlier even.
It was actually early.
Okay.
I believe the Occupy movement started in 2011. September 2011.
Yes, I think it did.
And shortly after that, you have to keep in mind that the Uranus-Pluto has been culminating closer and closer in intensity and came into exact alignment in 2012. But prior to that, we often see the nascent stage of rebellion, of youth rebellion, of revolt against oppression, an embrace of radical political philosophies, intense collective will to bring something new in the world. Often there's a sense of defiance. Let me give you some examples here, because instead of getting abstract with what Uranus-Pluto represents, let's just go back a little bit in history. All right, when we had a Uranus-Pluto opposition back in 1792, you had the French Revolution. That was quite significant. All right. The next following Uranus-Pluto square, or 1820, the United States entered a deep recession. There was a bank panic. There was a revolution in Spain and Portugal. The Ottoman-Persian War began. Then the following Uranus-Pluto conjunction in 1850 correlated with the Second Industrial Revolution in Britain, all right, which also revolved around steel, railroads, electricity, the Taiping Rebellion of China, the Great San Francisco Gold Rush, and then following that, the Uranus-Pluto waxing square in 1876, you had the Great Sioux War, the Second Rebellion against the President of Mexico, the uprising of the Bulgarian population against Ottoman rule. You had a lot of big things going on, anti-Chinese rioting. You had Germany went into a severe economic depression. Railroad services in the U.S. grinded to a standstill due to massive strikes throughout the country. Then you had, that was followed by the Uranus-Pluto opposition. Okay, in 1901, you saw the Boxer Rebellion in China, the New York Stock Exchange Panic in 1901, the Philippine-American War, the unification of Saudi Arabia, you saw the Anglo-Arab War. And then, of course, we go into the Uranus-Pluto square, April 21st, 1932, and almost exactly to the date, we see the Great Depression, the Constitution Revolution in Brazil, Japanese invade Manchuria, or China, the Shanghai War, the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler comes to power in Germany, national bank holidays and gold confiscation act throughout the United States where they close the banks, right? Mm-hmm. And they, yeah. Right. So now that was followed up by the conjunction in 1965 through 66. You saw race riots, looting in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, the People's Republic of China. Blew up their first nuclear bomb. The United States institutes its draft quota, actually doubles it. Large-scale anti-war rallies in four major cities ensued. Flower power, the counterculture revolution, civil rights movement, women's liberation movement, gay rights movement, sexual emancipation, free love movement, the human potential metaphysical movement, the environmental movement, the beginning of world music with the emergence of the Beatles, Beatlemania, the information and microprocessor revolution, and the space age revolution. Remember all the manned space flights and Kennedy setting the executive order to go to the moon. So,
right, that was all under Pluto, Uranus-Pluto. In opposition. But oppositions, of course, are different than squares. They signify different energies, don't they?
Correct. But the key thing to keep in mind, and this is where astrologists have us, we don't all agree on this, but the main thing is more about the alignment itself. What is the alignment of these two planets essentially constellate the same archetypal themes of innovation, rebellion, revolution, whether it's revolution, social revolution, economic revolution, political revolution, it's revolution.
And Uranus is more almost an intellectual revolution or a mind revolution, doesn't it? Right? Isn't that Uranus?
Well, Uranus is very—it's very much the Promethean thrust to go beyond where beyond one station, where humanity wants to become more than it seeks to achieve more. It remember, Prometheus is about foresight, the future. It's always moving towards something greater than oneself.
I get it. So we have the Uranian-Pluto relationship, and now the inner planets of Mars and Jupiter are squaring and in opposition to those two. What's that relationship like?
Okay, that relationship has to do with an acceleration and intensification of the Uranus-Pluto alignment. So Jupiter always expands, it elevates, it magnifies. Mars intensifies it and actually adds a sort of an edge to it where things want to manifest. When the Mars slowly moved into alignment in the beginning of April into the ongoing Uranus-Pluto-Jupiter T-square, it actually you started seeing the manifestation of things taking place in the world literally through action, through troop movements, through a breakdown, through crises, through confrontations. It certainly represents a period where there's this intense collective unfoldment of energy.
So this is the Ukrainian sort of situation, the Crimean, Russian, you know, that whole movement of Russia, isn't it?
Right. Really, let me just get to the gist of what it is.
Okay.
What I believe this is you're seeing the breaking down, the breakdown and death of an old paradigm and the emergence of a new civilization, a new system that's struggling to emerge, you know, that's being birthed, if you will, at the same time. However, right now, what we're dealing with during this collective psycho-spiritual death rebirth process, if you will, is more about the decay, the death, the breakdown than we are seeing with the birth or the sense of awakening that often where some collective enlightenment and awakening and rebirth takes place after. So we're seeing the first phase of this psycho-spiritual death rebirth process on a collective scale.
But the birth and death of what exactly in the paradigm? I mean, paradigm is a big word, but which specific institution, or is the whole thing? I mean, what are you seeing specifically happening?
What do I specifically see happening? Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, what we're seeing happening is that the industrial mechanistic paradigm that has been in place, the economic order, the type of systems that came and emerged and created the society that we have today, certainly around the time of the 1820s and the emergence of the central banking system, and where kingdoms turned into nation states, where that transition rapidly turned in the 19th and early 20th century, is in a process of transformation. All right, so what's happening here is that the fossil fuel generated fractional reserve lending system of free trade, all right, is breaking down to a new system, a new platform, a new operating system is now coming into place. And as that new operating system begins to emerge and reveal itself, you're going to see a breakdown of what is now taking place in the economy, in the political structure, in the geopolitical geopolitical alignments we have going on with between nation states. Certainly all the symptoms that we see today, the chronic underemployment, chronic unemployment, situations where countries have sovereign debt, especially in the United States, that far exceed its ability to pay, is all symptomatic of this dying paradigm, this old system, this old mechanistic, materialistic paradigm that was established sometime around 1850 with the Second Industrial Revolution. Hello?
Right. But this, yeah, no, I'm here. But does something happen specifically? I mean, this is an ongoing thing, what you're saying, but specifically on a cross or this day of these days of conjunction or specific alignment. I mean, it seems to be something's been big has been made of like the 23rd when these things come into these right angles with each other in the cardinal sign. Does things happen specifically on a day or does those influences reverberate through time?
They actually reverberate through time. It's been a buildup. Let me just go back a second because maybe I wasn't clear, okay? The square planetary alignment, all right, has been operative since 2007, and it's now escalating to a full-blown collective neurosis as we're approaching the second phase that is the cardinal climax called the Grand Cardinal Cross. So it's been in place and...
Okay. Well, hold on. Caller for 1 second. But go ahead. Finish, William, and maybe we'll take some calls after you kind of give us the overview. So go ahead. Finish.
So what we're seeing is this collective restructuring, reconfiguration event that's taking place. I think we can all agree that the systems that are in place now, whether it's the banking system, the stock market, whether it's the Republican and Democratic Party, whether it's the United Nations, or what system social structures or systems in place are beginning to fail. They have been failing since 2007 because there has been no recovery. There is more political discord now than there has been in any time in history. In fact, there's more political revolutions, rebellions, revolts, strikes. Look, all right? And it's happening faster and faster and faster. See, so what's happening now is that is happening on a collective level, but it's also affecting people on a personal level. And so much of the trauma drama that you see in the news, in your community, amongst your friends, family, and colleagues, is really all symptomatic of the continuation of outmoded beliefs and values that people have been operating in autopilot mode since 2005, 2007, for the past several years, resulting in problematic behavior and flawed decision-making that in the purpose of continuing and maintaining an unsustainable and untenable way of life, while everything all around is in rapid state of change, decay, and moving to some type of reconfiguration event.
Well, should we talk about solutions right now? Do you want to take a phone call, or do you have more of the situation to lay out?
I mean, I can certainly go wherever you want with this. I certainly wanted to talk. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you want to talk about what?
Wanted to talk about what game-changing events. See, because this is not just like going to go away, Alan, in a few weeks. A lot of astrologers out there sort of just don't want to talk about the long-term ramifications of what this means. This is not just something that's just going to go away, all right, and then we're just going to talk about the next configuration in 2020, all right? What's really happening now is we're seeing history in the making. All the events that are playing out over the next few months and have been playing out since November, December last year, where historians are going to look back upon and realize that the 21st century was defined over the next 24 months, and we're in it right now. So everything that's happening in the news right now is going to have a massive, major impact that will be life-altering for every nation, for every community, and for everyone, regardless of whether they believe in astrology or not, regardless of whether they believe there's a recession or not, regardless of whether they believe in Obama or not, things are going to change in a way they never could possibly have imagined.
Wait, hold it there. Let's just get a question from this astrologer on the line. Okay,
sure.
Doug, put the astrologer and see what this guy has to say, or woman, or whoever it is. Hello, are you there?
Hi there.
Question for William.
Hello, how are you? Hi, this
Hello.
Is
so
this is Theodore White.
Theodore White, do you have a question or comment about the Grand Cross or anything you've heard?
Yes, my comment is William Stigevers, who's a fine mundane astrologer, is right on the mark, and what he's been laying out, what's happening worldwide, is showing us the proof of what he's been saying, what's happening on a global level, but also on a transpersonal, individual level all across the world. And this is a time for us to really understand the significance, the historical significance of what is going down worldwide. And most people are still having problems with that because of the strong cardinal placements of the outer planets. And so I wanted to say that William.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say what William is trying to point out here, in order to understand the effects of what's happening worldwide with the Grand Cardinal Cross that's happening this spring, is that it's important to understand that these are transpersonal planets. So They affect the lives of everyone, individuals, by means of their effects on the world at large. And these planets are at seasonal points, where our seasons begin. Aries for the spring, Cancer for the summer, Libra for the autumn, and Capricorn for the winter. So cardinal signs are considered to be movable signs in mundane astrology. So William has been pointing out that cardinal signs initiate. And what he's trying to paint the big picture here is that we are in the beginning of, this is the start of many different world events that will take place over a period of years, but also big events will take place this year. We just had the first in a series of total lunar eclipses. We just had one last week.
I saw it. It was a blood moon. It was intense.
Yes.
It was. All right, well, thank you.
These are precursors.
These are pieces of what?
what I was saying is that these are called portents or signs, presages. William hasn't gotten to it yet, but these are signs and presages for events that are now trending, such as what we're seeing in the Ukraine crisis.
Oh,
absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, let's hear the comment.
Well, Thuna White is an outstanding world-class mundane astrologer. I follow his work closely. We have collaborated in the past on some joint projects, and we're also working on some things in the near future. And thank you, Theodore, for your insight and commentary. It really helped me get some more clarity on where I like to bring this interview, because what Theodore is saying is absolutely correct in terms of how the astrological portents, the mundane portents, are pointing out a radical reconfiguration or restructuring of every aspect of our society as that has been defined up to this point, all right? And what I see here, and I know Theodore is totally with me on this, is the Grand Cardinal Cross represents not only really a buildup, but the sudden dramatic upheaval of major reversal of power, all right, signifying it's like a crucial tipping point, if you will, for civilization, where anything that is unsustainable and untenable, all right, governments throughout the globe, including the United States, will be shaking to the core and begin to break down. So what you're seeing now in Russia or Ukraine and all these different emergencies, with Stanislav Grof would call spiritual emergencies on a collective scale, these are all symptomatic of something deeper going on within the collective human psyche. And what we're going to... Go ahead. I didn't mean...
I just want to comment that Theodore also mentioned that the cardinal signs are the beginning of these seasons. So somehow that seems to be symbolic of a new season of humanity that's unfolding. That's what the association I got from what Theodore said.
That's correct.
I
would also add that what Theodore was getting at was that not only was it a new season for humanity, it will be a new season for the ecology. We are seeing a tremendous shift in the global ecology, where we're not going to see global warming. We are going to see global cooling. In fact, the evidence is it's not by fire, but by ice. All right, and
okay.
That's something that we also have to keep in our awareness, that the ecology is changing faster than our civilization right now. The way this fossil fuel based civilization can maintain and deal with. So we also have that factor that also put into our ability to forecast. See, here's the other problem too. As much as astrologers have more information than ever, especially with the internet and the emergence of AI software and expert systems and better training and education, the convergence of all these different cycles, secular and cosmological, astrological, are all making it very, very difficult to predict the future or to make a forecast with the level of certainty that astrologers could do, let's say, 10 years ago. So we're at the threshold of where it's getting more and more difficult to even predict where things will be 6 months from now, let alone 6 years. So,
okay, so we have... So this Grand Cross, so it doesn't necessarily matter that it's happening in its exact alignment on tomorrow, April 23rd. It's been a buildup of this energy. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. What is significant is what's happening in the news, not what's happening in the mainstream media news, which is basically lies, cover-ups, omitting the truth, marginalizing any crisis. All right, overlooking something, or dropping stories like the missing airline plane. See,
well,
mainstream.
Where is the missing airplane? I think hijacked. It's either off the coast of Somalia or somewhere in the Malaysian jungle, waiting for a chance to strike or something.
Right. Well, here's the point. The point I'm trying to make is, when you see these type of stories occur, and the major media completely plays it down and completely whitewashes the material or omits significant facts while these alignments are taking place, is very telling, and is going to have much more historical impact in the future than what most people are currently aware of now. And so therefore, I believe these movements that are occurring in the Ukraine, this crisis that we're seeing in the Middle East emerge with Iran, the actual fact that 40 central banks are buying Chinese yuan in order to use as a means of trade settlement for oil instead of U.S. dollars, which has been occurring during this Ukrainian crisis, is more telling about where things are going to be in the next 12 to 24 months. And that all implies a major, major economic crisis for the United States, where the world is writing off the U.S. dollar as a means of a reserve currency for trade settlement and for the purchase of fossil fuels. Because you have to remember, most Americans do not realize that in order for a country to buy another country's goods and services, they have to use the U.S. dollar in order to exchange. Or if they want to buy oil from OPEC, they have to use the U.S. dollar. But as of the beginning of this year, as this climax, this Cardinal Grand Cross climax is taking place, countries such as Russia and China have provisioned other nations through the swap agreement mechanisms backed by the Chinese yuan, which is gold, backed by gold, because China has more gold now than any nation on earth, and the Russians are now making it possible for countries around the world to not use dollars, to begin to dump their U.S. treasuries, and where our money, which was the money for the lifeblood of the macroeconomic system of the planet, will no longer be. And that will mean that the United States will no longer have the economic power and economic sovereignty that it has had since 1945. And it does.
Well, wasn't that the reason for the Iraqi war, to capture the Iraqi oil and have it under U.S. government control, so we can use those Iraqi oil dollars to bargain in the world market? That's what it seemed like we went into Iraq for. You know?
Well, regardless of why we went into Iraq, what's happening now is that the Chinese are the biggest consumers of oil on the planet, and the Russians are the biggest providers of oil on the planet. They are about to sign a deal, all right? And that trade deal will be using petro-yuan, the yuan. So in other words, instead of a petrodollar, where the price is based on a barrel of oil, all right, it'll be the dollar based on a barrel of oil, it will be the yuan instead of the dollar. So
how does that affect our economy? Yeah.
Because that means the whole world does not have to use dollars anymore in order to buy the most necessary commodity on the planet, which is oil and natural gas, to fuel their economies. And here's the thing.
So what? Yeah.
Go ahead. Here's the thing. We can continue to print money and never pay down our debt and never balance our budgets, simply because the world has to use U.S. dollars to trade and to buy oil and gas. The Chinese and the Russians, along with other nations, right now, as this crisis is ensuing, is provisioning themselves to no longer use U.S. dollars or use U.S. treasuries as a reserve in their foreign banks anymore to trade with each other and to purchase oil from Russia, the largest oil provider on the planet. That is a big issue.
What happens to the U.S. economy then?
The U.S. economy is going to implode It's on a self-destructive path. It is something the astrologers, by and large, 90% of them, do not want to talk about. They don't want to address it, and most of them don't even understand the fundamentals about what's going on here. We are heading, it doesn't matter, as long as the world moves away from our dollar, and as long as we continue to print money out of thin air, digitally, that's not backed by gold or any other means or commodity of measure, that means our system will begin to implode on itself.
What does that mean as far as like the average person on the street? I mean, how does that look?
How does that look? That looks like the Weimar Republic in the 20s, where Germany, when it was in its crisis just before the rise of Adolf Hitler, was printing so much money that it took like a wheelbarrow, all right, of German marks in order to buy a loaf of bread. And that happened when it happened almost overnight. It happened fast. It wasn't something that was, you know, there was a lot of talk about it, but people said, nah, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And it happened. And you got to remember something here. The U.S., the same thing happened in the United States. And the banks were closed for 3 days. And then it was a reset. And it was an acquisition of gold. So, you know, and people didn't get their money back until 1953. They didn't recover what they lost until 1953. So when people say that's just not going to happen, they don't really understand the history. And by the way, when that happened is when we had a Jupiter-Uranus-Pluto alignment in 1930 with the Gold Confiscation Act.
Well, the other thing I want to bring up, because you sent it to me in your graph, is this increase in the UFO sightings around the world. I mean, there's that other aspect. How is that reflected in the astrological configuration?
Basically, one of the things we knew about is anything where there's any form of disclosure about, you know, especially that comes from government, is often very revolutionary. Look at the Pentagon Papers, right? That was very explosive. All right, we can go further back in time. But look, if we just talk about, we knew with the Uranus-Pluto alignment, we saw the beginning of the end of the truth embargo with the emergence of the citizens' hearing on disclosure. In fact, you and I had this discussion back in 2010 on your radio show, and I talked at length that the 2010s would be a decade where UFO disclosure would begin to rapidly unfold. All right.
Right. I was in Washington for that disclosure. It was very dramatic when you could see these former members of Congress finally getting that, wow, there really is something going on here. The U.S. government has been covering up major, major cases. And not only that, the imperialism of the U.S. would be to go into other countries and get their down craft that was crashed in another country. That's how arrogant this government is in controlling the world awareness of UFOs.
Absolutely. And so we saw the citizens hearing a disclosure in April, in late April or early May 2013 that occurred in a national press club, right, where we had a U.S. senator and a former congressional representatives present as a committee hearing. All right, in June 2013, we saw the United Kingdom. They released their UFO files from their national archives, right? And what we're seeing now is, I believe, with the Edward Snowden revelations to come, will basically outline the secrecy, the UFO secrecy, that the National Security Agency is an entity unto itself that was incepted. For the purpose of suppressing and controlling the UFO secrecy and the ET presence on Earth. I believe that's really the great revelation that is yet to come from Snowden that will basically undermine and – go ahead.
No. Do you think Snowden has that information, and why do you think he's waiting to reveal that?
Because it's a process. Remember, Putin has the information, and the Russians are going to use that information to begin to undermine the U.S. Because you got to remember one thing, all right? The U.S. government has told the media, has told academia, has told majority of the people in Congress, a majority of the people who work in the military-industrial complex, there is nothing to this issue. Ignore it. There is just nothing to it. But what's going to happen when the Russians start releasing the information on the internet from the Snowden documents, from the NSA, all right? And once that gets out, what do you think is going to happen when the press starts looking at this and saying, hey, you've been telling me there's been nothing to this for 60 years, and now we're reading this. What else are you not telling us? What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
That will be more destabilizing than anything the Russians could do right now in Ukraine.
Right. So we have these two things going on that seem to be related. We have the economic change. We have the paradigm shift. We have the revelations of the UFO, which is all working together to, well, we're breaking down the old form. I mean, in a sense, we have to break down the old system for the revelations of this new global, let's call it galactic paradigm, to be in place. We cannot function as perhaps isolated economies in the face of a galactic civilization, if you want to be cosmic. Does that make sense that way?
Bingo. You nailed it. You
okay.
Said it better than I.
No, but what do you say it? Say it. What, yeah, you say it.
Yeah, I believe, look, I believe the main thing is to realize that we're going to continue to see an intensification and acceleration of social and political breakdown throughout the globe, and a weakening
right.
of the economic environment. But all of
all
these
right.
are just symptomatic of a breakdown of an old, outdated, top-heavy system. So a
okay.
new
wait,
type...
Wait, let me interrupt you. What, 1 second. Oh, wait. Can you hold that thought 1 second? I think we have another caller. Sorry, because I am not... Do we have another caller? Sorry, William. No? Okay. Another. Okay, why don't you finish that thought? Sorry. So the economics breakdown, and due to the, what were you saying?
Well, basically, we're going to see a breakdown, right? And that breakdown is just symptomatic of a collective psycho-spiritual death-rebirth process. So what it's almost like we're looking through the looking glass, if you will. We're seeing through the looking glass, and what is black is white, and what is, we... what is good is bad, and what is bad is good. So in other words, everything that is breaking down is necessary for the greater good, for the sustainable to emerge, for what is tenable, and what, for civilization. We have to look at it a little differently. That doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of pain. There will be blood. There will be blood, just like we saw with that blood moon. But I want you to realize that this is a massive collective empowerment movement that is now sweeping the globe. Even though it's not on the mainstream media news yet, it is emerging. It is moving.
Well, how do the eclipses fit into this? Okay, I was out in Sedona, Arizona. I saw this incredible blood orange moon, and it felt a little weird. It didn't feel necessarily good. What it was a strange energy, but how do eclipses fit into this overall Grand Cross design?
Well, eclipses are trigger points. They're trigger events. And the fact that we had that blood red moon, where it was not only blood red, but it was in alignment with Mars. It was very close to Mars.
Oh.
Right? Is indicative.
Yeah, I did see Mars.
Right. Right. So yeah. It's certainly indicative of a major event taking place that implies confrontation. Mars always alludes to confrontation. And I believe what we're going to see here is it. See, I think we have to realize that this is happening on multiple levels. And we can't just look at it just, well, it's just going to be the Ukraine and everything's going to be fine here and I don't have to worry about that. I believe it's pervasive now. It's a pervasive in so many different ways that we have to realize that, for example, to me, for how I see it, the Ukraine-Russian crisis is clearly the Waterloo event for the U.S. dollar. It really is.
Oh, really? The
yes.
Ukraine crisis for involving how does the U.S. dollar fit into the Ukraine?
Because, like I mentioned earlier, that Chinese yuan is becoming the means by which central banks are making as a means to solidify their reserves, and they are moving quickly off of dollars. The trend is occurring both across emerging markets and developed nations. They are diversifying away from the U.S. dollar. This is really what is most ominous for the U.S. dollar. In fact, former IMF manager basically stated that the yuan is going to become the de facto reserve currency before it's fully convertible. In other words, before banks can actually swap that money for something else, they're already made a decision to make that their reserve currency, meaning that nations are going to start pricing oil and gas and their goods and services in yuan and no longer on the dollar as a means of trade settlement. That is really what's going on here. And in fact, and the reason why people want these all these nations around the world want off of the dollar is because they believe it's the root cause of the global financial and economic crisis. They believe everything that we're seeing now is dollar manipulation is creating these scenarios, the level of political instability that we have been witnessing since 2011 with the Arab Spring.
Well, it has to do with all. I mean, besides the Arab Spring, I mean, the focus on the U.S. is the corporate corruption and what the, you know, the Occupy movement was saying. Less than 1% controls 99% of the wealth, and so the world is reacting to that as well. I mean, right. Even though other, yeah. So,
yeah. Let me talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up because everyone in the world, most nations in the world are aware that the U.S. Treasury bonds are maintained by direct U.S. Fed monetarization and bond purchases reinforced by interest rate swap derivative contracts. There's nothing real about these bonds. In other words, you know, the U.S. stock market is maintained by the working group of financial markets, a.k.a. the plunge protection team, when Wall Street banks are subject to periodic fatigue, meaning when they're losing money and the stock market starts going down, the plunge protection team, all right, injects more money into the system. Everyone knows that, except most Americans. The U.S. dollar is maintained by the U.S. Department of Treasury's Exchange Stabilization Fund, which employs the foreign.
They may know that, but they don't know the effects that filling up false dollars creates on the world economy.
Well, let me just finish. Yeah. Right? The crude market, the sweet crude oil market is maintained by Wall Street proprietary petrodollar trading desk. All right? It has nothing to do with, I mean, it's completely corrupt and manipulated. The gold market is maintained by Wall Street and by the London Bank Naked Shorts, aided by the SPDR Gold Trust inventory raids and denied by COMEX deliveries, while the Commodity Futures Trading Commission looks the other way. Most people around the world know that, except Americans. And the six major U.S. bank stocks are maintained by phony accounting, blessed by the Financial Accounting Standard Board, which overlooks the falsified portfolios for their assets and their hollowed-out reserves. Most people around the world are aware of that, except most Americans. And it's just this. And here's the thing: this cross is going to put an end to all this financial fraud and corruption that has been taking place, unabated, all right, with no impunity. Since Bill Clinton removed Glass-Steagall in 1997, so you know.
But that's minor compared to this thing, isn't it?
Well, I'm just trying to point out that, you know, this goes way, way back. It's not just Obama. Obama's just looking the other way. He just wants to finish his term without any problems and live a good life in Hawaii, from the way I see it. And Bush, we know what Bush was all about. We don't need to go there. And Clinton, he's no different than Bush in terms of his implementation of NAFTA in outsourcing what he did with Glass-Steagall and basically deregulated the banks, deregulation of Wall Street, which was further amplified and extended out by the Bush administration. And Obama made claims that he was going to reverse all of that. And what has he done? What has he done? He's looked the other way. So what I'm saying is...
Well, he hasn't done anything. He's been ineffectual to doing anything, right?
Right. Correct. Whether you voted for him or not is irrelevant at this point, because we are in a crisis and we do not have the sufficient level of leadership that can get us through this. So I believe the United States, along with China and along with Russia, are going to go through a major transfiguration event. And it's going to be very messy. It's going to be very chaotic. And the level of uncertainty is going to increase dramatically over the next 24, 36 months.
Well, how do you fit the UFO stuff into this? I mean, where does that fit into the whole thing?
That fits in because UFOs, the revelation of UFOs as a real, as a military problem for the United States and the free world, as an issue of ongoing secrecy and black budgets that are maintained with no congressional oversight, with outside of constitutional boundaries, would set off revolutionist country just by itself. That's how I see it. Also, I hate to say this, but you know, the religions are not the three fundamental religions are not going to get are going to be affected by this as well, because you have to remember, you know, the idea of God is in man's image. Well, that's really going to be challenged, especially with civilizations whose technology, all right, whose technology is vastly superior to ours, and who can do things that seem very similar to what we call magic. So where do UFOs come in? I believe, you know, UFOs are going to be very much part of what this Cardinal Cross is about. I believe we're going to see even more. We're going to see a complete breakdown of the truth embargo by the United States.
I think, though, they're part of the new rebuilding, like, of the paradigm. So the paradigm has to break down. The economics has to collapse. People have to wake up to the fact that their government is manipulating them in some ways, and then it just seems we're not going to be rescued by any UFOs or anything like that. I don't know about the timing. Is there some astrological point that we can see the true disclosure happening, or is this about the squares and the Uranus-Pluto relationship? I'm just curious about that.
Well, you know, some people are going to disagree with what I have to say because, you know, my sense of timing based on my calculations is certainly different than others. But I believe we're going to see a disclosure event sometime between now and 2018. I'm veering more towards 2017, you know, but Alan, it could happen tomorrow. I mean, The portents for some event of international significance, an X event, like I was talking about earlier, you know, at the level of the Reformation, all right, or the 30 Years' War, or the collapse of the Roman Empire, or you know, the Viking invasion of England, or World War I, is right upon us. So if you know, I believe that UFO disclosure, a massive disclosure event, whether it is instigated by the ETs themselves, the extraterrestrials, or some massive, you know, major galactic disclosure by the Edward Snowden documents, through some other means, it's quite possible now, or probable.
So if you can put it like all together, so the UFO disclosure, it has, of course, a religious philosophical impact, but how does it have an impact economically, according to the astrology that you're seeing? I mean, okay, the two are somehow related, I think.
All right. Maybe it's very simple. What is the means? what is the most, what is the means by which all manufacturing exchange transportation occur? What is the means behind that all?
You mean energy.
Energy. And
oil.
What is our primary energy source?
Right. It's fossil fuel oil.
Fossil
and
fuels.
That will be obsolete when we realize there's these other technologies.
Correct. That would be a massive game changer. That is the most threatening aspect. That is the most threatening aspect to the advanced oligarchy, the deep state, the government within the government that has power both within a national security complex, the central banks, the Wall Street bankers and elite, and the powers that be in Washington that always call the shots and set policy for any president, regardless of his or her party. Those people are threatened more by that. Once disclosure occurs, once we realize that there has been some form of exchange that has been ongoing since Roswell, 1947, all right, for the purpose of empowering the military-industrial complex to ensure that the United States would remain the dominant military power, and that other means of energy are being used on these classified projects that are much more efficient, all right, and less and not threatening to the environment, that will be revolutionary, and that will cause a major reconfiguration event on a macroeconomic scale, the likes we haven't seen since Adam Smith during the first Industrial Revolution.
Well, okay, so I got all that. I think all that's interesting. So you were going to say more about the Cardinal Cross. I mean, I know you have a lot more to say.
Well, so, I mean, I think people want to hear about what's the Cardinal Cross going to do. Because, you know, people email me and they say, William, I don't want to know enough about the cross. What's it mean for me? What's it going to do? What do you see really coming about? And
right.
I'd like to talk a little bit about that so people can feel they
please,
walked away
please,
from
go
this.
Go ahead. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, look, everything I'm going to mention here will happen on some level. Some will go full-blown. Others will be a footnote in history. All right. So I'm just going to list a few things here based on this Uranus-Pluto alignment and based on the X event factor that we discussed earlier. Okay? Okay. So saying that, here's my list of events that I believe are going to take place. We're going to see a regional war in the Middle East erupt. It will probably be centered on Iran. We're likely to see...
Do you have a date, a specific time frame for that?
The time frame is anywhere between now and 2018, maybe 2020 at the latest. Sorry, I just lost my place here. Let me just pull that up.
No, you're going to see a war in the Middle East. Okay,
right,
go ahead.
Right. Yeah. We're going to see a reemergence of the of not Occupy Wall Street, but Occupy All Street. We're going to see the people come out on a massive level. I know it's hard to believe that's going to happen again, especially with the NSA listening to everything, all our phone calls and emails. By the way, folks, the NSA is listening to everything you do. Everything. All right.
Well, I'm glad you're listening to this program because I'm glad somebody's listening.
Okay. The military crisis in the Korean Peninsula is likely to break out. Whether it goes into a full war or not, it really depends on if cooler heads... if cooler heads prevail. A Japanese military crisis with China. This is happening right now. There's so many, this is escalating more and more. It's in the news, but it doesn't get into the mainstream news. We're going to see a second women's liberation movement, but where it was centered in Europe and the United States, primarily United States and Western Europe in the 60s, you're going to see that reoccur again, but it'll be in Asia and in the Middle East. We're going to also see the beginning this year of the second half of this year of a middle class tax revolt. We're going to see the collapse of the permanent political class, the oligarchy. We're going to see an escalation of radiological contamination of the Fukushima reactors that we're going to find more revelations will come out about this. The West Coast,
Well, we're already
Alaska.
Finding that right now. That's happening.
Well,
yeah.
It's going to get worse. Just whatever we're seeing now, it just escalate it and intensify it 100-fold. We're going to see martial law imposed on certain parts in U.S. cities where you start seeing strikes and revolts take place. We're going to start seeing drone strikes in civilians in the United States. We're going to start seeing, again, we're going to see drug reform. It's going to start with marijuana, but it's also going to start happening with other drugs as well. We're going to see a U.S. constitutional crisis. We're already seeing that now. But this is going to really take hold by 2016. We're going to see social revolution in Europe, which already started. We're going to see social revolution in Russia, right? We're going to see, well, the Eurozone has been in a state of collapse, but I believe we're seeing the last hurrah of the Eurozone. We're going to see a derivative market meltdown with the banks. I believe two major banks are going to go under. One bank in the United States and one European bank. Right now, my top picks are Deutsche Bank for Europe and Bank of America for the United States. We're going to see...
Wait, can I just ask you, when a bank goes down, let's say Bank of America, what happens to the people who have accounts in those banks?
Well, what's going to happen is there's going to be a thing called the bail-in, like we saw in Cyprus, because what happened in Cyprus isn't going to stay in Cyprus. And basically, that was a rehearsal for the central banks to see what would happen when they confiscate your money. They close the banks for a week. They put capital controls on how much you can take out, and they take 50%. But they're not just going to take it from your savings account or checking account. They're going to take it after your IRA. And all the trust funders out there listening to this, their money is going to be tapped too. Everybody is going to lose a significant portion of their assets with these bail-ins. And this has already been provisioned for. Late last year in November, the central banks got together in London and planned how they would enact bail-ins when called for. So we won't see a bailout. We're going to see bail-ins.
Okay. What else? I mean, are we going to see anything positive?
Well, this is all positive. But this is all positive.
I guess it is. But is there anything we can do to make it less painful or drastic, or it's just going to unfold the way it's going to unfold, and that's it?
I would say don't take it too seriously. I would tell people stop playing into the Republican-Democrat paradigm, because if you're just going to say it's Hillary, he's better than Jeb, and play into that game and give your $600 to one of those candidates, you are just increasing the problem. You are making the future more problematic for you and your children. Those parties do not represent you or I or the middle class. They represent an oligarchy. They are controlled by a set of puppet masters. They are that represent deep state and the Wall Street elite, amongst others. So that would be one of the things I would recommend. Secondly, I would say that look at these events as a part of a major spiritual shift. When people go through major crises, major spiritual crises, often many things occur outside of their control during these times. They get laid off from a job, their wife or their spouse leaves them, their husband leaves them, they realize that they have a drug problem when before it was something that was never quite an issue. They have problems with their kids, they get audited by the IRS. All these things happen all at once. It seems to happen all at once. And while they're going through this, all right, and it forces them to make decisions, to restructure their beliefs and values, to move into a completely different direction, to go into therapy maybe, or do some holotropic breath work, or go to Sedona to really find themselves again through some spiritual journey that they take, or whatever it might be for them. But that's often what people do, and they come out the better for it. And you've seen that. I know you've seen that. I've seen that with the work I've done. But now this country is going to undergo that same thing.
Is it the country or the world? Because the Grand Cross, of course, affects the whole world.
Well, yes, it does. It's affecting the whole world. But that Grand Cross is making a direct hit on the U.S. sun. A direct hit on the U.S. sun.
I didn't realize that. So that's why the U.S. is so central in this time.
Yes.
I see. But are there any key dates we should look out for? I mean, like you said, it's an ongoing energy, but are there any key moments, like the next solar eclipse? What does that signify?
Well, basically, I believe that next solar eclipse is going to signify a culmination of many of the issues and, that are now in play. Are you talking about the eclipse later this month?
Yes, that one.
Oh, okay. Okay, that one, yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, there is the prospect, there is a possibility that we may see another replay of the Cuban Missile Crisis between us and Russia, between NATO and the United States and Russia.
With a confrontation over the Crimean and Ukrainian areas.
Correct. It can spill over into other areas as well. I did write in my forecast the possibility of a U.S. in a limited nuclear exchange with Russia. That was one in my forecast when I posted March 20th. I believe we're going to see that begin to culminate. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I really wish... You know, I've actually talked with a number of psychics who have excellent track records on this, and they are quite uncertain themselves. So, what we're going to have to do is just, you know, be positive, get really spiritual, develop a spiritual practice, start meditating, start looking at alternative systems of thought and philosophy. Realize that we're seeing a new United States is going to emerge. We're going to see a revolution to bring back the vision that the founding fathers had for this country. All right? So it's going to be a very interesting period, and people are going to have to get more informed now than ever before and cultivate as much flexibility in your life and learn to live with more uncertainty than maybe you have been – to a level where it feels a little bit uncomfortable. So we're going to have to just cultivate uncertainty more so than ever now. I don't know if that's helping anybody, but I do think that we have to realize that things that are bigger than us are going to interfere, slow down, change, alter, modify, or completely forward whatever plans we have over the next 2 or 3 years.
So the next 2 or 3 years, I mean, are crisis points, you're saying. We're going to go into something. And then do you see a time where things start to settle down a little bit?
Well, actually, I don't think things settle down until about the early to mid-2020s, depending on what source or what system you use. I believe we're going to be in it for a while here. I think anybody who's saying, hey, this is going to go away, you know, in a few months and it's going to be back to business as usual is really fooling themselves and in denial.
Right. So, all right. I know you have a lot more to say. Maybe we should do another program about it. But is there anything that you think is important that you haven't touched upon?
I wrote quite a bit of notes here, and you know, it would.
Let's go through them. I think everything you're saying is something that needs to be heard by the public.
Well, you know, people who are many people are experiencing, you know, a lot of angst, and you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that. What's affecting each and every one of us is in specific ways doesn't seem to relate to what's happening in the so-called real world as defined by the mainstream media. You know, so what we're going to see over the forthcoming months as this crisis goes full-blown is people are really going to question their values and beliefs. Their worldview especially will come into question and begin to radically shift. So, you know, I expect collective political, economic, social shift, breakdown, along with numerous happenings of high strangeness that almost border on paranormal activity as things continue to accelerate and intensify to a dramatic breaking point. which I believe is going to happen sometime around 2017, 2018. So you're going to see Linda Morton Howe talks about high strangeness, and you're seeing all these type of odd events. And... Go ahead.
So, no. You think the flight 370 was one of that paranormal experiences?
Yes. I believe a lot of this levels of high strangeness we're going to see will become much more commonplace in the news and day-to-day life, where things that are possible but improbable become almost common or happen on a week-to-week basis now. I also believe that, we're just going to, generally during historically, there's time to integrate new archetypal energies that slowly unfold, but what we're going to witness now is something that's very quick and explosive, even though there's been a buildup. And so, we're at this interesting tipping point. I happen to believe, and some astrologers are not in agreement, but I might be wrong on this, but I believe 2014 is going to be the tipping point year. It's going to be the tipping point year for where this civilization will be heading over the next 100 years. And I believe where we're moving towards is a type 1 civilization. We are a type 0 civilization. A type 1 civilization is a civilization that has sufficient power. It generates as much or more power than the planet generates. And in order for it to and that level of power, it's able to control the weather. It's able to have cities underneath the ocean, cities in the air, suspended in the air. It's able to control earthquakes, prevent earthquakes. It's able to develop sustainable systems that don't deplete the planet. It gets resources from nearby asteroids, satellites, the moon, if you will, Mars, nearby planetary bodies. It also begins to use solar energy to the level where it can power a majority of the cities. And often type 1 civilizations develop the first generation of nuclear fusion, the means by which stars are powered by. So I believe we are moving in that direction. And
well,
that's
exciting. I think that's a great possibility. So you would say what date do you think we'd go into a type 1 civilization?
Well, if you look at it like, we've been in childhood and now we're in adolescence, we're in the early stages of adolescence, and then we enter early psychological adulthood. If you look at those three stages, we're like at the very late stage of adolescence. And often during that period, you're going to see a lot of trauma drama play out on a global level as we make that transition from type 0 to type 1. Type 1 civilizations have one language. English will be the language by which all nations will discuss and commence business with. They have a type 1 communication system, that's the internet. They have a type 1 culture, which is rock and roll, blue jeans, what you see on MTV, what you see on YouTube. They have type 1 generally has a one world government, you're seeing that now with the emergence of the UN. That's taking more power, taking more of an active role.
So everything needs to break down. The Grand Cross is this structure, restructuring, you're saying, so the type 1 can start to emerge. So that's
right.
What you're saying.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. That's correct.
Okay, so to sum up, I should get off because we went over the hour, but that's okay. So just to sum it all up, and let's definitely do more programs along these lines, but how would you just sum up this Grand Cross as it unfolds in its immediate implications?
Its immediate implications, well, regardless what the immediate future holds, all right, the astrological alignments that have been operative since the spring of 2014 is about a process of releasing powerful geopolitical triggers that will be far-reaching and have far-reaching implications of great consequence and significance on the world stage that will shift our civilization and move it forward so it can fulfill its greater destiny and purpose for humanity.
So this is exciting times, then, you're saying? This is
absolutely.
And like you said, it's history in the making, and we have to just pay attention to what the media is not telling us.
Correct. The media is not your friend. The media is not your friend. The mainstream corporate-controlled media is not your friend. They are there to obscure what is happening. Anything that is really happening is happening on the internet. It's happening through all alternative news channels, through your, you know. So we're seeing it now with the more people read their news on Facebook than they watch on CNN. This is a new phenomenon now. So, you know, people who are posting material on Facebook, whether it's controversial or whether it's mainstream, people are reading that, and that is shaping their decisions and their thoughts and what they think, more so than CNN or MSNBC or Fox News could ever.
Well, the other thing that Facebook is trending towards is a kind of personal history. I mean, I read a lot of personal history. This happened to me today, and it's sort of a different type of news. It's taking the power back about what's real in the world, is what's happening to us personally, as opposed to what news is telling us is happening. So I think that's an empowerment of people in a way.
Absolutely. Just remember, though, everything that you are posting, the NSA is keeping record of, and that'll be part of your
portfolio. But I don't care. Come on. Do you really care?
No, I don't. I'm encouraging people to post the truth. Post what they really believe. However, I do want people to know that everything they're putting on there, all their emails, every email they ever wrote, every phone call they ever had, anything that was done on their text is all being recorded and sent to the appropriate government agencies for surveillance, monitoring, and law enforcement.
And but this you is realize they need as many people read all that than there are people making all that?
They have artificial intelligence systems, expert systems, if you want to call it that, that actually analyze that. They have a threat assessment analysis and rating on each one of us. This is what the deep state, or the advanced oligarchy in America has developed over the years, and is very much part of what Edward Snowden is going to reveal in more depth. This is just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg.
Well, let's see. I mean, somehow I'm not worried about the NSA, because I know I'm not saying anything weird, you know, I mean, except let the UFOs land or whatever. But no. Anyway, let's wrap it all up. What would you say then, William?
Well, I mean, I think we covered a lot here. I would just say that over the next several months, you know, we're just going to have to cultivate as much flexibility in our beliefs, question our values. We're certainly all our worldviews, as progressive as anybody's worldview might be, including yours and mine, or anybody who does this type of work, is going to have to reserve the right to rethink, to change their position on something as things begin to unfold.
Right. Well, I think that's exciting, and I'm looking forward to that. That's why I call this program New Realities. Just give people your website and how to get in touch with you.
Yes. My website is www.williamstickevers.com, and I'm also on Facebook, which you can certainly friend me. Please do, and I'll certainly be interested in answering everybody's questions. I do take my time, really trying to answer everybody's questions, and really, you know, provide services, not just for individuals, but for businesses, to give them the type of strategies so they can continue during these periods of change.
Well, thank you. I'll be on the West Coast. Maybe we'll get together. You know,
that would be great. I look forward to it. And thank you again for giving me the opportunity. I mean, I know we got off to a little bit of a rough start, but I really that was really because I wasn't sort of ready in the sense of how you directed it. But I'm really glad how we
I just left questions and, you know, but I should go. But I'll call you this week and if I'm out there, okay? Thanks for everything.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
And thank everyone for listening. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening.